And it's really weird because on Saturday we were driving home and I said, so what are you preaching on? And he told me and he gave me his 3 points. And I, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to do this object lesson, but he's not into real big object lessons things. So I didn't even ask him to say, hey, do you think I could jump into your sermon and do this object lesson? So I am the children's pastor, as you know, so you guys are going to be my kids because that's how I teach better. And I do have an object lesson that I want to share with you that I did share with my class before. And the topic is God's lavish love. And I'm always awed because I've noticed how Brian always picks a song that is like a type of thing that's being preached. I noticed it really strong on Easter when he did the song that said breaking the chains, and then we just did the skit and they had the chains on them and how Christ came and broke the chains from them. And it's just like I see that today too, because it was saying in like Romans 8 in that one song where it said nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I just thought, wow, God, you always weave that thread in, you know, that everything's just flowing. And so that was pretty exciting. But so I've done this lesson with my 5th and 6th graders, and it's just to show the lavish love of God. But I just need to tell you a few other things. The theme of our class this last session was weird because normal isn't working. And so before I even started the class, I looked up, just in the plain dictionary, not even a Bible dictionary, what normal meant and what weird meant. And so normal meant conforming to the standard, ordinary, common. And weird, well, I'm going to go into that, normal. Isn't that how it is? The devil takes something that God created that's supposed to be glorious, like us, you know, and have his glory shining throughout all the earth. And he takes and makes it common and ordinary, and he tries to stamp out God. And that's what normal is. If you look at normal in our society today, normal is talking back to your parents. Normal is doing whatever you feel like doing and not having to listen to authority, being rude. And you see all the people on Facebook, when it gets to politics, oh my goodness, it's just like nasty. You know, hatred, meanness, bullying. And kids are experiencing this in school a lot too. And so they're growing up really in a different generation than what we ever had to face. And so you see how Satan has taken normal and said, this is the standard which we should live by. And it's not been a good one. It's been an evil one. It's gone down. You know, we've taken God out of the schools, the Ten Commandments, all these things, prayer. And so you can see the deterioration of our society going down. Well, then let's look at weird, what weird means. And this just blew me away. First thing it says is something supernatural. That's what weird is. I'm thinking, God, that's you. You know, God is calling us to be weird in a God kind of way, you know, like how it says here, supernatural, to show his glory, to be restored. And so I just thought how neat it is, and that's what the saying is, weird because normal isn't working. And that's so true. And so that's what we've been trying to get the kids to know, is that they need to be weird, the God kind of weird, and not the kid kind of weird. All right. So that is what we were working on and stuff. And so in my opinion, we need to get back to weird, you know? Okay. So let's see. I'm going to just pray. Let's do that. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father God, that we just surrender to the Holy Spirit today. And I just ask you that you would just use me and let your words and your spirit just flow out, Lord God, and just give people understanding of your great and wonderful love that you have that's so lavish. I submit to your spirit. And I just thank you, Father God, that you're just going to use this to draw us closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures first, just to kind of build, all right? In 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says that if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I deliver my body to hardships that I can boast of, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So what we need to do is we see that we can do a lot of great things, really nice things, you know, but if we don't do it with the love, that it's worthless. It's nothing. So we have to look then at what is love. And so in 1 John 4:8, it says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So we see we have to get back to the source of love. How many times do we get married so that we'll feel loved, especially us girls, you know? And we think this guy is going to fulfill all that love for us and make us just feel good. It's not going to happen. I know. I tried that. First year was horrible. But you can't put everything on a person to fill that love void. It has to go back to the source. It's got to go to God. God is the only one who can fill that love, that source that we're really seeking and wanting. And so that's where we see our source is. Then in John, 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because he first loved us." So you see, God is always giving his love out there, and it's just for anybody who wants it, all right? And so 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." I had to look up the word lavish because I really didn't know what it sounded good, but I didn't know how to explain it to the kids. So I looked it up, and it says, and I actually have a, yep. It means to heap on. And have you ever seen, I know my kids did it with their dad, "Monkey pile on dad, yeah." And all three of them would jump on him, and he's down under there somewhere. But there was just these three bodies that covered him. And that's what God wants to do, is lavish, is heaping on us. And then it means extravagant, given freely. Look how God has given freely the love. You know, he created us to be in dominion of the earth. That's how he created Adam and Eve. And they got sidetracked and they sinned. And they gave their authority, the dominion of the earth, to Satan. And that's why you see weeds. That's why you see bad things. He's the father of lies. That's when lies came in, you know, to being. So you see all the negative stuff that's come into the world. It's because the ruler of the world is the devil. But God freely sent Jesus Christ to redeem us back, to give us our authority. It's like the prodigal son, and he sees him, and he's been in the pig pen. He's been mulling around in the mud, in the mire, and he has nothing. And he comes back to his dad all like shameful, and the father goes running to him, and he freely says, "Oh, son," and he hugs him, and he's like, "Oh, dad, don't. I just want to be one of your hired hands." No, he said, get him new clothes, get him rings, and the rings on his finger meant his authority was given back to him. He's my son. He restored him. And that's what God is wanting to do to us. You know, he freely gave Jesus Christ so that we could be restored on who we really are and who we've been created to be and have our authority. And that's why you'll see why God doesn't always intervene on things. We're an authority here. He's waiting on us to speak and take our authority. Then he'll move. So many times. He can intervene anytime he wants. He's you know, all supreme God. He can do what he wants. But he created this world for us to rule. So that was just a little sidetrack, like Jason says, a little rabbit. Okay, so it's been given freely to us, and then he's generous. Who doesn't like somebody who's generous? Especially kids. You ask mom for a five, and she gives you a 20. Mom, you're the best, you know? That's so good. All right. So we see how that is. And, you know, Christ, even when we were enemies, it says in Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. While we were sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for us. That's grace. That's freely given, you know, his love. So now we're going to get into this. So Isaiah 30, 18 says, "Therefore the Lord waits expectantly, and he longs to be gracious to you. And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate are all those who long for him, since they will never be, he will never fail them." So what you see is that you and me have a God who is always longing, and he's waiting, and he's just like, okay, you know, just give me a little bit. Just say you want me a little bit. All right? So this glass is us. And this shaving cream is God's love, his lavish love, all right? And he is just waiting for one of us to say, God, fill me up with your love. And so he starts filling you up. But the only thing is, what we don't realize with God is that he never gives a little. He's the kind of God who says, I'm just going to keep giving and giving and giving and giving. I am going to pour out lavishly to you. I am going to just let it overflow. My love is that great for you. These are all the blessings that I have for you. Are you open to receiving my love? And it just keeps going on. And do you see what happens? It just spills over into everywhere else that you are. So if you're with your family, watch it spill over into your family if you're willing to receive his love. If you're at school or if you're at work, it just keeps flowing and flowing out. He doesn't give not generously. He gives overflowing. He gives freely. This is what God is offering us with his lavish love. He is just looking. He is waiting for somebody to just say, I need you. Fill me up. And that's what we need to do. And that is easier said than done. Because to tell you the truth, this is the second time I've done this. And I haven't been asking, fill me up with your love, God. Because if you think about what love does, it covers everything. You know, it heals. Okay, let me tell you about shaving cream. If I'm a man and I'm going to shave my face, and I didn't have shaving cream or soap, I only had water, and I start shaving, I am going to cut myself, and it'll probably scar, and I'll bleed, and then it's not going to go smooth. It's going to be rough, and it's going to hurt. And then when I'm done, I'm going to look like I have a red face because I have the burns of the razor on me all over the place. And I'm not going to look too pretty. So that's what God's love does. He's like that shaving cream. And he wants to come in, and he wants our life to be smooth. He wants it to glide. He wants to fill all those voids and make it soft. And then when you take it off, it looks good. So you see, he's coming in to heal. A lot of times, you know, we say we don't see your love. But it's because he's working on the inside, and then it's going to show on the outside. Because we are wounded inside. And it is going to come out. But sometimes we're just not ready to receive all this. We're open to receiving a little bit of God's love, but we're not going to receive all that because we just don't really know about it, we don't understand it, and we don't believe for it. We have a small mind. But as we keep asking day after day after day after day after day after day, God, fill me with your love. I need it today. As he fills us, it's going to start coming out after we get healed on the inside. Because if you notice, it started in the glass first. And in the glass is where we get healed. He's healing our hurts. He's healing our wrong thinking. And then we are open to receiving more of it, and it starts to overflow into the people's lives around us. And that's what he wants. He wants to see his love transform us, and then also we give that same love to others. When I was engaged, my roommate and I, we got this free weekend down in, I think it was Colorado Springs. And so we got this free mountain cabin. So we went there and we go, we're going to really spend time with God. And I was really excited because it's like I looked up scriptures about getting married and all this kind of stuff. And I was so excited, couldn't wait. And I found this scripture and I can remember writing it out and just saying, oh, this God, this is what our marriage is going to be like. It's going to just be so wonderful. And I'm just writing it out, all this stuff. And I'm praying and stuff and saying, I want the best marriage in the whole world. And I just was very... what would you say, naive? But it is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It's the same paper I wrote on. I carry it with me in my Bible all the time. Do I get it out to read? No, but it's in my Bible, you know? I need to start getting it out and reading it every day. This is what 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says in the Amplified. Couldn't just be the regular. It had to be the Amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Now these are the kickers here. It is not rude, unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Whew, that one I messed up really bad. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy and it is not fretful, meaning it doesn't get offended easily. It takes no account of the evil done to it, and it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. And you look at what real love is and you go, oh my gosh, it just, I can't do that. I can't do it. I can't walk in that kind of love. And you feel the pressure of like, oh, I'm supposed to, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to walk like that. Do you know what? God said to me, ask. You don't have that love in you. I'm the one who has it. And we're supposed to be connected. Just ask. I'll give you that kind of love. And a little bit, you know, you might start seeing little victories. Like I said, it fills up the glass first because he's got to work on the inside of us. We all have that wrong thinking, the wrong attitudes, the hurts, the pains. And yet, we don't have to stay that way. All we have to do is just ask. Fill me up with your love, God. I need your love so desperately. Our kids need to ask every day, Lord, fill them up with your love, because they're going to a war zone at school, you know? So we need to pray that and have our kids pray with us in the morning. Lord, fill them up with your love. Don't let them walk the way of the world and common and being ordinary. Let them be weird. Let them be seeing the supernatural in their life. Let them see that they can love people who are bullies and mean. Let them see that they don't have to give in to the gossip and the other things behind each other's back. Let them see they don't need to listen to the wrong kind of music or watch the wrong kind of things that say it's okay to just mouth off to your parents. Because it isn't. God knows sin hurts us. That's why he gave love, to pull us up out of our sin. And that's where it all begins. It's just a simple, simple step. Ask. So, I don't know, Brian, if you want to come up here with me. I just want to see if anybody, just going to have him help pray for people. Anybody who hasn't had that relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody who even right now feels like, God, I just need to ask. you to fill me up with your love. And if it's everybody in the congregation that comes down here because you feel like I need to ask for that kind of love, to start bringing some healing inside of me, to bring life of you in me, I just want to lay hands and pray with you. You know, just pray over everybody, because that's the starting place, and God wants us to. And I know it's something that we don't normally do, but if you want to ask for that kind of love, I want you to come up front and just line up.